Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and through 21. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21, we go on from fasting last week. I hope I messed with some folks' diets. I hope I made somebody think about not eating as much, you know. I know it kind of had an impact on me. But today we're going to talk about treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Let's read this. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And then immediately you have to ask the question. It just has to hit you. What do I treasure? What do I treasure? Precious Lord, you are the seer of all things, the knower of all things. You are omniscient, omnipresent. You know what each and every one of us in here treasures. You know what each and every one of us in here put before you, love more than you. Father God, I ask right now that you would reveal those things to our hearts and then give us the power to prioritize our lives. We sing of how good you are. We say, first giving honor to God who's the head of my life. But the question begs to be asked, is he truly the head of our lives? Or do we have a hidden agenda? Do we have treasures that we value more than, as the writer of Hebrews says, so great a salvation? Father, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we start talking about treasures, we're talking about things that are valuable, assets, resources, all kind of riches and possessions, things that we I don't want to say hoard, but we kind of don't want folks to mess with. Some of us got dishes. Some of us has got towels. Some of us got silverware. We do. We just got stuff that we don't want nobody messing with. Jesus says, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Verse number 19 say, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth. What's he talking about? He's not talking about not having things. He's saying not having things have you. Amen. Amen? Amen? Not letting things have you. Not letting things control you. Can't live without our things. Oftentimes we'll hear about hurricane or tornado or something that's devastating like what's going on in West Virginia. And just wiping people out. You'll hear some folks say, we'll just start over. And then you'll hear some folks say, I lost everything I ever had. My heart goes out to the person that lost everything they ever had. Because it's clearly said, well, they didn't have the right thing. Because can't no hurricane or tornado or rain or flood take away Jesus. And we could all start over. Jesus also, as he's speaking through the Sermon on the Mount, he said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust do corrupt. I know something about that. Often, you know, I like certain things. I like Hershey bars and almonds and Kit Kats. Oftentimes, I'll hide that stuff because, you know, I got a predator in the house. And I'll hide that stuff. And then months later, I'll find it, and it ain't no good. It ain't good for nobody. That ain't good. You know, I was like, could have ate that a long time ago. And Jesus is saying, if we ought not lay up stuff like that. God blesses us to be a blessing. The most blessed person ought to be the most blessing person. If you've been blessed, you ought to be a blessing. Let me say that again. If God has blessed you, you ought to be a blessing. You ought to bless somebody. You ought to be able to say, you know what, God's been good to me. Let me find me some people to be good to. God is good. Lay up not for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust do corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You got all these security alarms all over the place, on cars, everywhere. Secure, everything's high security. I know my friend Mark who put the steel bars on doors, did our air conditioner out there. Sometimes I ride around in the inner city. I said, man, this guy made millions. He has to make millions of dollars. Everybody got steel bars, all the stores. I'm like, wow. Because that's our treasure. We got to protect it. Jesus, and through the person of Paul, said, you know what? There's a different kind of treasure you ought to lay up. There's a treasure that you ought to lay up that don't depend on stuff. Okay? Paul had the right idea. Peter had the right idea. John had the right idea because they had the right treasure. And I guess the question I'll ask today as I speak, do you have the right treasure? Are you treasuring the right stuff? Okay? Because the Word of God says as we conclude, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? You ever seen a sunflower? How the sunflower grows? What's it do? It pulls toward the sun. Pulls toward the sun. And that's a picture of how it is with your treasure. If you treasure something, you're going to gravitate toward it. You're going to move toward that thing. And you're not going to let nothing get in the way. You let a dog see a cat. You let a dog see a cat. And that dog is going to do what? Get after that cat. And if you have a treasure, you have something in your life that's valuable to you, you're going to get after it. You know what Paul's saying? Know what we need to do? Get after God. Amen. Get after God. I guess that's the question. Are we getting after God? I like Paul in Philippians 3 and 8. He says this. When you know, Paul had a lot of stuff. Okay, Paul had more stuff than any of us in here combined. Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was all that. He had it all. You know what he said when he ran into Jesus, when Jesus knocked him off his high horse and he had to deal with Jesus. Paul says this, he says in Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless. He says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen. Look what he says. My Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. What's Paul saying? Let me tell you something. It's a suffering business we in. To follow Christ means you're going to suffer. See, this is why a lot of folks don't follow Christ. They'll follow him to a point. But when the suffer come, they'll pull back. But the true man or woman of God that's really getting it, that really understands what Christ has done, going to follow him through the good and the bad, the thick and the thin. Paul says, I suffer the loss of all things. See, we don't want to lose nothing. See, this is why a lot of times you won't hear preachers preach the word because they don't want to run folk away. We in the people pleasing business. We want folks to like us. And we'll do some stuff. We'll say some stuff. We'll do some stuff for folks to like us. Because it's our nature to want to be liked, to want to be accepted. Paul says, listen, I lost some stuff. Now a lot of theologians say he might have lost everything. Family, friends. You got to understand, Paul switched all the way over. And he suffered. I say this all the time. You come to the Lord, if you really understand what you're getting into, you're getting into the suffering business. You're going to suffer. And Satan will get after you. When you leave him, he will get after you. Paul says, I count it all but dung. Y'all know what dung is. I don't have to go there. Okay. Waste. Paul wasted a lot of time. You know, in John 3, Nicodemus had that conversation with Jesus, and Nicodemus knew exactly what Jesus was confronting him with in John chapter 3. Nicodemus said, "We know you a man come from God, because no man can do this." And Jesus told him, "Cut the chase, Nicodemus." He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Nicodemus knew exactly what he meant. You know, it's like we sit back with our computers. Sometimes we sit at our computers and they get bogged down. And we know we got to reformat this thing. And when we do that, we know we're going to lose some stuff. Okay? And we're not in the reformat minute. We don't want to do that. Paul, Nicodemus knew what Jesus said. Listen, Nicodemus, all that you learned, all that you done went through, all that education, don't mean a thing. You must be born again, again, again. Now the question has to be asked, have you been born again? How would I know? You know. Just like you know you got a runny nose, you'll know you've been born again. That thing gonna bother you. It's gonna stay after you. Are you born again? People, listen at John. I talked about Paul. Listen how John talked about this treasure that he had in 1 John 4 and 9. Paul said, John says this. He says, let me go back. I'm going to go back like on Wednesday night. He says this, "Beloved, let us love one another." There you go. There's a good start. "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth him." How about that? And knoweth him. I mean, you in a relationship with him. Okay? You got a hard time loving folks? Well, I can't love outside my little circle. Okay? If you don't wear the same color, if you ain't going to the same school, if you ain't with the same team, this is hard for me to love. My love is restricted. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Why? For God is love. Why have a hard time loving? Well, maybe you have a hard time with salvation. Maybe you have a hard time being born again. Maybe you not born again. Oh, preacher, you can't say that. Well, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you have a false assurance of salvation. Maybe you haven't really experienced true salvation. Because I have a hard time loving folks. Well, everyone that loveth is born of God. That ain't the preacher talking. That's just the word of God. Let me say it again. Somebody might have missed it. Maybe somebody don't want to hear it. Because I like carrying an attitude around. I like being angry. I like being mean. I like being nasty. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth God. And he that loveth not." Here we go. Verse 8. 1 John 4, 8. "For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Watch this. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us." God didn't have to love us. Think about it. I heard Matthew read that scripture. I mean, we was in darkness and we like darkness. We was in sin. We was liars. We was fornicators, adulterers. We was all kind of stuff. We was in that such for some of you class. Okay? We was unlovable. "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Now, if you tell me you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you understand John 3:16, and that God lives through you, then you ought to be loving. You ought to turn up the love. Okay? Charlie Staples, what did Charlie Staples say? A little cup of love. That's how we ought to be walking around. We ought to be a little cups of love walking around. Because herein is love. Verse 10, herein is love. Now we're going to get to this treasure because, see, these are the steps. You build your treasure by loving people. You ain't loving folk down here, you ain't had no treasure in heaven. Okay? And you get to heaven, it'll be like that little kid run downstairs on Christmas morning. No gifts. It's Christmas. No toys. Nothing. Well, you know, I mean, the tree is decorated. No toys. The kid's like, well, I thought it was Christmas. Well, you know. You didn't deserve nothing. And the truth be told, there'd be a lot of trees like that, but listen. Herein is love. Hear me, somebody. Not that we love God, because we didn't.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But that he loved us.
Amen.
And that he loved us. What did he do?
Yes.
Think about it, you mothers in here with children. Tell me, Justin, which one of your two you want to give up for some of these up in here? Joshua or Justin, which one you want to give up? I'll give you some time to think. Herein is love. Not that we love God, because we didn't. Let me speak for myself. I didn't. I wasn't thinking about him. Okay, I was thinking about some other stuff. Y'all don't need to know. Right, Deacon? But that he loved us. I like that. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. That word means to die for us. He sent his son to die for us because he loved us. We have a hard time loving folks. But we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Listen what he done. Listen what he done. And I know I'm going around a little bit. Listen what he done. He pardoned us. You know that? He pardoned us. Anybody here other than me got some bills? He got some bills. Got a house payment, got a car payment, got a cell phone payment, okay? Some of y'all might have some credit card debt and some school loans. Got all that. How would it be nice if somebody just wrote it off? Wrote it off. Get the Holy Ghost white out and say, blot it out. Blot it out. Just take the, and then not only that, just take it and put it away. Just say, you just don't even worry about this no more. I got this. Okay? I got this. And then another thing a bill collector could do is you owe him something. He goes to the bank and say, listen, he just take it and rip it in half.
Amen.
That's what Christ did. That's what you see in Calvary. Listen, let me read it to you. I just explained it to you. Let me see if you can pick it up on your own. Buried with him in baptism, Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are what? Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. What is the operation of God? John 3:16. Who have raised him from the dead. Same power. This is why I said there's a whole lot of phony baloney Christians. You know why I know that? Because the same power that raised God's son from the dead raised you from the dead. Same power, same Holy Ghost, same like precious blood, as Peter said, that work through Christ is working through the believer. If you're a believer, you got the blood of Christ working through you. You've been raised by the same power that raised the Lord. You ought to be something different. Oh, we ought to be something different. What a spectacle. What a spectacle we ought to be. Look at them folks, raised from the dead. We need some Lazarus running around here. You know, that's what the world needs. The world needs to see some Lazarus sitting there with Jesus. Look at that brother was raised from the dead. I remember him, crazy as a bed bug. Look at him now, sitting in his right mind and clothed. and you being dead in your sins. That's what that means. Verse number 13. You being dead in your sins. You know what's scary? When folks dead in their sins, try to do ministry. Folks dead in their sins, trying to do the work of God. That's some scary stuff there. Man, let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like it. When we look at the churches and all the churches, just a mess. I can tell you some stories. Just talk to my brother, and I know he sometimes listens to some of the. I'm not gonna put their business out there like that, but it's some mess going on in these churches. Why? Why? Let me tell you why. Because you got unsaved folks trying to do God's work. It never gonna work. Watch. Why? Being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, have he what? Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now I said that fast like that for a reason, excuse me. Listen. Born again woman of God, born again man of God, born again child of God. Listen, if you know this and tell me you can be unloving and unkind and unforgiving, having forgiven you all trespasses. All of them. Not one. Okay? I remember when my brother went in, he had cancer surgery, he had colon cancer. And they took half his colon out, Dr. Perry. And he said, Dr. Perry said, listen, son. He told my brother, he said, listen, just in case there might be a radical cancer cell floating around, we're going to give you chemo for 6 months. Just in case. Listen, Jesus don't operate on just in case. Okay? He says this, and he says, having forgiven you, all. There ain't nothing radical running around in you. You've been forgiven all your trespasses, because if you haven't been forgiven all your trespasses, can't go to heaven. You can't go to heaven with one trespass. He has to forgive us of all of them. Now, that's a good picture. Let's keep going. Blotting out. Here's our word. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. You know, Satan keep a good ledger. Okay? He you know, you run into somebody, they ain't say, they remind you everything you used to do. Okay? Okay? You know what you can tell them next time now because you heard this? You know, I'm going to tell you something. God, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, blotted all that out. Get up out of here with that. Okay? That's all been blotted out. Some folks come, you know what? He still ain't no good. I mean, God blotted all that out. Okay? Then he says this. That was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it away. He took it away. Ain't that good? Took it away. Took it away. And then here's the part I say about ripping it in half. You know, Jesus was on the cross. You know, they ripped him. They ripped him for you. They ripped him in half. Nailing him to the cross. That's a picture of a bill being torn in half. That bill was wiped out clean. Let me tell you something. Where you at now? You know you've been pardoned. You still think you ain't pardoned. You still think you got some unforgiven sin still running around your life. Yeah. Get right with God. Ask God to give you peace. Whatever situation you may be dealing with, give me peace in that situation. You know why? Because he brought us peace. Yeah. We started this whole thing about, I don't know how long ago, but all the way back in Matthew chapter 5 now. We're all the way up in chapter 6, ain't we? Listen, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of the God. If you're not a peacemaker, it's hard. It's going to be hard to justify you being a child of God. If you're not a peacemaker. I mean, if you know this situation needs peace, and you have the ability to bring peace, and you don't, then you might not be a peacemaker. But not being a peacemaker makes you not a child of God. And then being a peacemaker might cost you some problems. Peacemakers run into problems. Because Jesus goes on to say in the next couple of verses, blessed are those who are persecuted Every peacemaker that ever lived was persecuted because this world don't want peace. John 14, 27, Jesus said this. He says, peace I leave with you. He said, he left us peace. To the believer, to the child of God, to me, he left peace. He said, I leave with you peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gave us peace. He pardoned us. He gave us peace. He pardoned us. Let me tell you something else he did. He gave us victory. How about that? Somebody say, I don't know. I don't feel victorious. I do. Amen. I do. Amen. Y'all may say, well, you know, you cocky and you're arrogant. You think you all that? No, I got victory. Okay? I got victory. See, I can do the same thing LeBron never did. I may not get a 1.3 million people parade, but I can hold up the trophy. Because I got victory in Jesus. I got victory. See, and if you here today and you defeated and you feel defeated, you feel useless, you don't have the victory. Oh, I got the victory. Paul, John says this. We covered Peter, we covered John. Here's John in 1 John 4 and 4. He said, you're of God. That's how you get the victory. You're of God. Little children, listen, and have overcome them. And have overcome them. Why all these sins, all this stuff that God, that Satan threw in our way? We are overcomers. Why, John? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something, folks. You better start living a victorious life. Okay? I say that. I said, listen. I know a lot of what's going on in our lives, and sometimes this world will wear you out, wear you down. You'll feel like quitting. You'll feel like just giving up. But remember, you got the victory. Let me put it another way. Here's Peter in 1 Peter 3. He talks about this victory. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's victorious talk right there. Now watch this now. Don't miss this. This is the victory. To an inheritance. We got an inheritance. Y'all missing it. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Here's the last part I like. Reserved in heaven for you. That make it personal. Okay, this is not a table for two. This is a table for one. Okay? You gotta get there on your own. This is a table for one. Reserved for you. Not you and your wife. Not you and your family. Not you and all your kids. This for you. Okay? See, what we like to do, we let other folk bring us down. Listen, let me tell you something. This was reserved for you. For you. Do you have peace? Do you have victory? Do you understand what it really means to be pardoned? I think that's important. Do you understand really what it means to be pardoned? It really, really means you can't go to heaven without your sins being forgiven. And he had to die for that. Let me tell you what else he does for us. You're fruitful now. You know what you were before? Unfruitful. You was unfruitful. I know I was. I was unfruitful. Let me tell you something. And I, sometimes I look at these scriptures and I say, man, you just beat up the preachers. But before we were saved, we was ugly, obnoxious. Some of us was just dangerous, unattractive. All that goes into that, being unfruitful. Look what it says, Galatians 5. This is who we were. Scripture just bears it out. The scripture is so honest. You ever run into somebody so honest, you just don't even like talking to them? They're just so honest, you know? I had a government check yesterday, and I was going through the bank. On a government check, I sent it through, I signed it. I wanted to get it cashed, and the lady said, well, your wife's name is on this. Is that her in the car with you? And it was Michaela. sake.
No.
She said, that would be wrong, forgery. Now, you know, where'd she come up with that? So I got to wait till Tuesday to get my money. It is what it is. Listen, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Listen, okay? But if you be led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, many. I'm not going to go down the whole list. Y'all know them. But when God saves us, he makes us fruitful. He says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, again, is love. Why do I always start with love? Because God is love. It's joy. You know what? Where are all the happy Christians at? Where the joy has left the church? We got to manufacture joy. We got to put big screens up here and TV and play YouTube videos and all this stuff just to raise some joy into the church. There's something wrong with that church. And the joy ought to come from the singing of the saints and the preaching of God's words and the prayer of the folks. We got to generate joy. We got to make honor. We got to make people happy. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness, gentleness, and faith. Listen, let me talk this last thing. It's not the last on the list, but this is the last thing God does for us and get us ready for eternal life. Talk about eternal life. Everybody want to go to heaven. You know the song says, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. I think about this kind of stuff now. I've done a couple of funerals. You know, I think about some of the stuff that I have to say. And it's good that the folks that I've buried and I've eulogized, that I really believe they knew the Lord. I would struggle preaching messages for folks that I didn't know. They asked me at the funeral home that I did, I want to be on their call list just in case the people didn't have a pastor, but I want to come in and do some funerals for $100. I don't know, you know. I don't know if they family want to hear me for $100, you know. I've been asked to do funerals, and I talk to the family because you know people don't know the Lord, and I want to let them know what I'm gonna say. I don't want to surprise them, you know. I said, "Where you get this fool from? Everybody was going to heaven, not any, you know." Here's what happens when it get tough. It's gonna get tough for you, okay? You can sit here living here right now. Listen, there's some folks in here that got tough for. Talk to Claire and some of these folks in here. Life got tough. Amen. Okay? And they still fight their way to the house of God. Life's going to get tough for you. You know, we think, everything is going to be a little bowl of jello or whatever. Life's going to get tough for you. Okay? Keep on living. Life's going to get tough. And it got tough for these disciples. It got tough for them. They was with Jesus in John 6. And it says in 64, but there are some that of you that believe not because it got tough. Jesus gave them some tough stuff. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Watch this now. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. What was Jesus saying? Some of y'all follow me on the wrong road. Some of you follow me in that day going to say, Lord, Lord. And he going to say, I never knew you. And Jesus confronted them with that. Instead of them following him to learn, they got hard. They turned away. The Bible said, and then that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now watch this. Because I know y'all thinking, well, Jesus should have said that. He should apologize to him and chase after him. And you don't want to lose your members now. You know? And he didn't. Look what he said. Then Jesus turned to the 12. Listen, there's about 12 of y'all here today. Okay. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you go away also? See, some folks get out of this sanctuary. Okay, we ain't heard of singing and it's time to go because I don't want to hear no word. Okay. Then Simon Peter answered him. No, great answer. Peter didn't get a whole lot of them right. Got this one right.
Yeah.
And then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Yeah.
Thou hast the words of eternal life. Okay? He couldn't stop there because, see, some of y'all didn't heard it. Having the words don't mean nothing.
Amen.
You don't get this next part. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, you better get it. That's the right God. They were sure and believed. That means they studied Jesus. They were students of Jesus. Well, Pastor, you make it sound so good. How do I get to heaven? How do I lay up treasures for heaven? Now, this is good. I'm gonna get through this. Okay, because you just need to know. You just need to know. Because everybody talking about heaven ain't going.
Amen.
So, Pastor, how do I lay up treasures in heaven? Step number one, you must be born again. Okay?
Amen.
Let's not miss that.
Amen.
John 8:24. You must be born again. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. That's us. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. This is Jesus talking. See, some of y'all think Jesus was soft.
Uh-huh.
Y'all think he was confrontational.
Amen.
He was confrontational. He was in your face. He wasn't just smiling all the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He said, you from beneath, I'm from above. Don't confuse the two. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he. You should die in your sins. That's pretty straight up.
Amen.
You don't believe in me, you go to hell.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And believing ain't just some head knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Believing is accepting the truth and then living out these Christian principles. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. It's living them out. It ain't just talk. Like R. Kelly. I believe I can fly. Prove it. Prove it. You don't have to get real high. Ray was telling me how high YSU Stadium was. That's as high as you need to go to prove you can fly. Listen. It's a great salvation. You know what? If it ain't great, it ain't nothing. If it ain't a great salvation, listen. It ain't nothing. You won't escape. You won't escape. You won't get away from this world. You will die and go to hell if the salvation is not great. How do I know? Because the word of God tells me so. Hebrews 2 and 3, the writer of Hebrews says this. He said, how shall we escape? I know how I escaped. Called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I escaped. If you saved in here, you escaped.
Amen.
If you in here saved, you escaped. Imagine you locked up behind bars. You got a life sentence, never going home, and then somebody come and give you a parole, a pardon, saying, listen, pardon you. Then rip up the paperwork and say, set you free. Ain't nobody sitting there talking about, I don't want to go home. Listen, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
How should you escape?
Amen.
You can't escape. Now I was watching the news and there was a guy, listen, let me tell you something. There was a guy in the Poland township on a motorcycle trying to escape the Poland cops. Let me tell y'all something. If you're on Poland and the lights go off behind you, just pull over. Now, he on the motorcycle going through traffic, and, well, everybody stopped when they see the police cars, and he didn't and ran to the back of a car, and y'all know the rest of the story.
Amen.
You can't escape. You know, you're not going to escape this world without salvation.
Amen.
You're not going to escape this world without salvation. Listen, folks, It's the only way out. For there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Listen. Do you believe? You can't be born again unless you believe. And it's hard to imagine anybody to believe if you don't have an appetite for the things of God. Let me say the next thing you want to get. You want to build some treasures in heaven. This is important. Soul winning. So what is soul winning? Winning souls to Christ. Amen. Telling people about Jesus. Telling people about what God has done in your life. Now, you can tell them all you want. Okay? If you're not living it, you're telling is just laughable. Okay? But if you're living for Christ, if you're living for Christ, and you're giving God glory in everything, then you have an obligation to be a soul winner. Amen. To tell people about Christ. Listen to how Daniel, and we know Daniel was just about flawless. I always say, if God would have said, Daniel is a man after my own heart, we'd have been in trouble because we couldn't find nothing on Daniel. But he said David, and all of us, breathe a sigh of relief. But he said this to Daniel. Daniel said this in Daniel 12:3. Said this last week in BBS. He said, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." You know what Daniel's saying? The wise man, the man with godly wisdom, is going to tell people about Jesus. Now, and the question is, how's your soul winning? The word of God says, go out, what? And teach them, make disciples of them. We have an obligation to go out and tell people about Jesus. We want to build treasures in heaven. I listen to you guys all the time. Y'all may not think I'm listening. I listen to y'all talk about Reverend Meyer. I listen to y'all talk about Miss Robinson. I listen to y'all talk about Pastor Shales. I listen to them because, you know what? They waiting for y'all because they got some treasures. They invested in y'all's lives. And the question is, whose lives are you investing in? Okay? Whose lives are you invested in? Now I think about Serena and Tiger and Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and all these football players got these trophies and stuff. Is that going to get them treasures in heaven? No. You can walk up in God's kingdom with a whole arm full of trophies. Ain't going to mean nothing. Ain't going to mean nothing. Y'all think it is? No, it ain't going to mean nothing. Amen. How many souls did you win? How many people are in heaven because of you? How many people know the word of God better because of you? How many people love the Lord because of you? How many people are here because of your walk, because of your conversation, because of your talk, because of your love and grace and mercy and gentleness and kindness? How many people in heaven? Because of you. Man, that's what it's all about. How many people's lives have you touched because of your walk? Every Christian must be a soul winner. People say, "Pastor, you going off deep end." No. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Watch this now. Proverbs 11:30. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, shouldn't be that hard, because if you really what you say you are, and God is really to you who you say he is, you ought to be just wanting to tell somebody. Oh, I got to tell somebody about this, what God done today, what he done last week, what he done this morning, because the word of God says his blessings are what? New every day. You want to be a soul winner? You want to build treasures in heaven? Let me tell you something. I got one more after this one. Be a godly mother or father. You want treasures in heaven? Let me say that again. Be a godly mother or father. Let me take it a first step further. Uncle or aunt, cousin or niece, nephew, be a godly mother or father. Be a godly parent. Why? Why? It's the greatest weapon you ever have. The greatest weapon you ever have. Know what we're doing anymore in church? Raising children for the devil. We're raising children for the devil. Amen. We raise them up, and they, as soon as they're 18, boom. And they ain't hear no more about them. You know, more come to church. Enough of that. Enough of that. Listen to Paul. He's talking to Peter. He's talking to Timothy's grandmother and mother. He says this. People say, well, how old, when should I start? Start as soon as they're born. Start praying for them and laying hands on them and touching them and kissing them. Telling them how Jesus loves you. And tell them, you know what? They killing babies in the womb. 3,500 a day in America. Got something to live for. I didn't have to have you. I want to say that. I always say that. I always say I was pro-life when I started working my job with kids. Still pro-life, but you work at a youth detention center. Boy, I tell you what, it challenges your belief system. Amen. But glory be to God. 2 Timothy 3:15, excuse me, says this. Hang in there, Rita. Rub them knees. And that from a child, I like this. I expect this. I expect this with Zamaya and Ariana, little Justin and Joshua. I expect this because I know Jill didn't got it. Okay? You got to raise these babies up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Word of God said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old or she, he will not depart from it. They need to see God displayed in their parents. Amen. At an early age. Amen. At an early age. Why? That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How many children can come up here and quote a scripture? How many can come up here and talk about what it means to be a child of God? This is what the text is saying. You want treasures in heaven? Be a godly mother. Be a godly father. Be a godly grandmother. Be a godly grandfather. I'm invested right now. Wherever Michaela's at, I'm pouring into her. I bring her books home all the time and Bibles and all kinds of stuff. Just trying to talk to her about things of God. I want you to know it. I want you to know it. I want you to know something. I want you to know what you're singing about when you sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. I want you to know you sing from your heart. We get too much stuff. There's noise. Last one. I know. Pastor. Last one. Help your local church. You know where all your treasures will start? In the local church. In the house of God. That's where you're going to be able to do many of the good works. In God's house. With God's people. Okay? You can encourage people. You can love people. Listen, God sees everything. Okay? Y'all don't have to wait to do anything because ain't nobody watching. Do it. God sees you. Amen. God sees you. When you see a pop bottle or an empty water bottle in the parking lot, just go get it. Somebody going to get it. God see you. I don't have to see you. Mr. Bryant don't have to see you. Now listen. Oh, listen, look at her. Picking up a water bottle out in the parking lot, looking around, making sure everybody see her. Just do it. Amen. Just do it. Because the local church is where you can use all your gifts. What gifts? All your gifts. What gifts, Pastor? Serving. Can you serve here? You can teach here. You can show mercy here. Anybody here need some mercy today? Anybody need some encouragement today? You can encourage somebody up in here. Somebody needs some encouragement. Somebody going through. Somebody going through. Then you can do some giving in here. Not just money. Amen. Give of yourself, your time, your talent. Somebody in the past, is there anything I can give? I don't have no money. I'm broke. Yeah. How you doing with all that? You know, there's a story in Luke, as I close, about the rich fool. Y'all know the story of the rich fool. And at the end of it, you know, God is telling us this story because he doesn't want us to be the rich fool. He don't want us to be a rich fool. And the story goes like this, and I'm not going to try to explain it because it's self-explanatory. And it says, and he spake a parable unto them, Luke 12 and 16. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, that's a bad start. Saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. God been good to him. He got gifts and money, wealth. And he got everything he could need. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Still ain't talking about nobody else. Not one time in this whole parable does he mention a wife, a kid, a grandkid, a family, a church, or anything. And he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the American way. Eat, drink, and be merry. Listen, but God said, unto him, thou fool. Thou fool. This night. Then give him the day. Somebody said day. This night, thou soul shall be required of thee. Y'all know what that means? One day your soul gonna be required of you. One day your soul gonna be required of you. Because listen, I could very well be up here talking about Cindy. Gone. She had chest pains. She was sweating. She had chest pains and she was sweating. 4:30 in the morning, take her to the hospital, you know? And I'm thinking about this stuff all the way. Okay? You ready? I didn't know what was going on. She was groggy. Get her to the hospital, EKG, nothing. She got some other stuff going on. Thanks to Ray's French fries. Ray said, I knew it. You couldn't get through this sermon without bringing that up. He put his hand on his head. Oh, Lord. What's worse than being a PK kid? Okay? So I'm thinking about this stuff, you know. What if her soul would have been required of her? Because, see, one day. Y'all think I just talk about death all the time. I do. Let me tell y'all something. One day, and you don't know. Amen. Nobody know the day or the hour, but one day, Amen. Thy soul shall be required of thee. One day. Okay? One day. You sit over there now, all young and, you know, not a care in the world. Longevity run through my family. One day, he told his fool. I hope ain't no fools up in here. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, I got verse 21. But you know, I think a lot of the reason why we can act like we do. Because we don't think one day our soul is going to be required of us. Imagine that. How many in here? Anybody ever experienced losing someone? And you had a ought with them? You ever thought about that? Losing someone and you didn't get a chance to make things right. We just take for granted. See you next week. See them next week. Let me tell you something. So is he or she that layeth up treasures for himself. You know why God blesses us? To be a blessing. Some of y'all want to die rich. With a whole lot of money in the bank and don't know who's going to spend it. Somebody going to spend it. Amen. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's big. The question is, are you rich toward God? Think about that. Are you rich toward God? Are you rich toward God? I can say that. I can keep saying that. Are you rich toward God? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior,